Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Dark, a podcast about the CW's hit show Riverdale that takes place after dark. I'm Alex.
It's a hit show, but who's doing the hitting?
Is the show hitting us, or are we hitting the show?
Ooh, it's hard to tell because we're in the dark when the hitting is going on.
Exactly. I can't see any
fucking
thing.
Say your fucking name already.
And when I'm hearing a voice, I don't know exactly where it's coming from. Like, it could be Alex. It could be Pete.
It could be my voice echoing back because I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
Oh, man. Wow.
And as mentioned, this is Riverdale After Dark. We're going to be talking about...
Yeah, I think we covered that part.
We should mention that it's a podcast about the CW's hit show Riverdale that's filmed in the dark. Should we not do that part?
We covered it, guys. Let's move the fuck on.
All right. So we're going to be talking about the latest episode of Riverdale, following up on the epic musical episode. I'm very excited to talk about this. There was much less singing, but still a little bit of singing this
episode. We started out with some singing.
Yeah,
right.
Cheryl killing it. Cheryl's doing amazing in that song.
Yeah,
that
Cheryl, you're doing great, sweetie. Let's do a little bit of recap before we fully get into it, though.
Yeah.
So, as mentioned, last episode was Carrie the Musical. Bunch of stuff going on there. Mostly people repairing their friendships, which is very nice. Betty is with Jughead. Archie is with Veronica. Archie and Veronica are both working for Veronica's parents, the Lodges, who are mob bosses. Just to jump ahead a little bit, I think this is the first episode where they straight up were like, yeah, we're in the mob.
Yep.
Yeah, it definitely was. I was like, yo, they spent so long being like, we're not really villains. We're just a family. And this episode, they're like, nope, we're mobbed up as fuck.
Yep. All right, get back to the recap.
Okay, get back to the recap. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for keeping us on track.
I know.
Thank you for leading us out of the dark. The Riverdale
fucking talk, asshole. Okay. Recap.
The light at the end of the tunnel. Pete LePage.
So that's what's going on with Archie, Veronica, Betty, and Jughead. Meanwhile, Betty's brother Chick has moved back in after a little bit of a kerfuffle in the old house. And that's kind of where
we're at. Chick is not living there. They kicked him the fuck out.
They kicked him out. He just popped in to see the play.
He came back to see the play.
Yeah.
Mainly because Mrs. Cooper felt super bad because she felt like she was losing her whole family. She also kind of got back together with Hal Cooper last episode to the dismay of F.P. Jones, who was her squeeze back in the day, if you know what I mean.
F-Palace in full effect.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the last thing you should probably know is that Midge was crucified on the back of the stage of Riverdale High at the end of the musical.
Yep.
Really buried the lead there.
Not exactly, because we barely spent any time on it. Well, I guess the main thrust of the episode is also the Black Hood is back, which is the serial killer that was terrorizing the town. We thought it was the janitor Svensson, except nobody who in the viewing audience ever really thought it was the janitor Svensson.
Well, but I feel like Svensson was a lot of people's favorite character throughout the whole...
Yeah, everybody loved the way that he was introduced one episode and then killed off the next.
Yeah.
Yep, that was pretty cool.
I love that. That's my favorite types of characters.
Yeah, so I will mention, this is the one time in the history of Riverdale where Archie was right.
Because saying that, like, it wasn't.
Yeah, Archie's been saying all along. He's like, that wasn't the black hood's eyes. I think we made a mistake killing the janitor.
Well, but to be fair, a very stupid redheaded clock is right twice a day.
Absolutely. So as Pete mentioned, we do kick off the episode at the funeral of Midge. Cheryl sings a really beautiful song. This was a great way of starting the episode,
and then gives an ultimatum right after.
Yeah. Now, I do need to give a little bit of a shout out because, as you mentioned, we do have our Tony fans online.
Yeah,
we're Tony fans. This is the Minions.
No Tony in this episode. How'd you guys feel about that?
I was bummed. This felt sort of like, it felt like a lot of the stuff we've seen in this sort of second half of the season went away, and yeah, we jumped back to where the black where we last saw the Black Hood. So, yeah, it was a bummer. I mean, also, I will say Cheryl wasn't really a focus on this episode either, so
right.
I feel like we'll get back to that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, in fact, we're definitely going to get back to it by the end of the season, but I'd like to see a little bit more of a balance there. Like you said, it felt like everything moved to the side. Anyway, back to the funeral. How should we split this up? You guys want to do the couples? Because I feel like we had our A plot, B plot.
Yeah, let's do.
Well, I wanted to talk about what you guys think of in the, like, after a beautiful song, Cheryl was just like, oh, by the way, me and my cheer squad are going to be angels of a revenge on this murder. So everybody back the fuck up.
I mean, I feel like cheerleading has two sort of fronts. There's right, like the leading of cheers,
right,
and then the being the revenge, the arm of revenge in any small town.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's what it was legit in my town.
And I was a happy cadre that she put that in the forefront.
Well, why else would a cheerleading group have black, all black uniforms?
Right.
How often do they break those out in the big game?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, in Riverdale, probably pretty often. I was actually upset to not see that followed up on it all, because that was, again, such a great line dropped by Cheryl.
Oh, I'm sure it's
I wanted
be followed
to see
up
much more than the red circle, the black circle, or whatever dumpster shit Archie has going on. I want to see the cheer squad wrecking havoc on town and tracking down the
Vixen's black
revenge. I would have loved them to, like, go to that sketchy bar and start beating people up and be like, what do you know about me?
I think Cheryl would be way more effective at it than pretty much anybody else, personally.
Definitely. Yeah. She gets whatever she wants.
Yeah. So during that, we do find a little bit of information while Cheryl's singing. We get Sheriff Keller is interrogating people. We do find out that Ethel did, in fact, leave notes the previous episode.
JT called that.
Yeah, you're right.
Also, something that we find out and is not touched on at all again in the episode.
Right.
Which is very strange.
Yeah, it's more just sort of a leftover plot point than anything.
I will say I loved the way that this was shot. The cool sort of circular, almost that 70s show style effect on each of the interviews. Because they were high as fuck the whole time.
Down
right?
The
well,
street.
It was also like kind of justified Jughead not being a part. It was like, this was in the beginning, like, all right, Jughead, you know, give me all your footage. I'm going to need this, so it became a key part of this next episode.
Yeah,
because he wasn't singing, so he was just kind of side.
No, I'm talking about the way, like, just in the show.
We could probably actually stick with Sheriff Keller for a second, because he's almost the side thing that's happening. Where I've had a theory all season that Sheriff Keller and Hal Cooper have been teaming up Scream style to be the Black Hood.
Right. Yes.
This episode kind of puts a little bit of a crimp in it, I think, because Sheriff Keller does seem like a straight up guy. He gets a really insulting thing put in his cop car. Somebody writes Sheriff Killer on it.
Mm-hmm. Which is, that's good wordplay.
It's really
that's good. A smart vandal.
Here's the thing. This is actually the law is if there's a good pun on your cop car, you have to resign.
No, that's not true.
And Sheriff Keller's really feeling that.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that Cheryl, right out of the gate, threatens Keller. Like, why are they like, you did this? And it's like, yo, chill.
I mean, that's kind of...
Well,
Cheryl
would, after your brother was killed and then a bunch of other people killed, at some point you got to be like, yo, cop, you suck at your job.
I mean, it's a small town where so many people are getting, there's like a series of murderers.
Right. So if the one cop really can't do it.
The one cop is like, you're like, get your shit together and solve this murder that is like, has layers upon layers of weirdness.
I'm
who
just
he
saying
thought was dead.
She's frustrated and she's taking it out on the person who's supposed to protect them. I didn't think it was out of left field. I thought it was very justified.
Do you think it was out of right field?
No.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. I will mention there's a little thing that he drops because he does end up resigning from his job
I thought was bullshit. You can't quit the town.
Wait, you just said that you
what
it was
what
his
do you
fault
want from him. No, I think he's awful at his job. But when Kevin's like, you fucking quit, or I was like, oh man, that is He's right. Yeah, you can resign, but you can't, like, turn your back on the town that you've been sworn to protect.
The mayor, or whoever's in charge, makes him leave.
Right.
He has to turn his badge.
But Kevin had a point when he was like, you fucking quitter.
Oh, man, you're really hard on Sheriff Keller.
Man, you're like the Cheryl of this podcast.
Yeah. And we've been saying that for years.
Jeez. Well, I will mention there's a little bit of a detail that Sheriff Keller drops. He says they're probably going to bring in somebody from the outside to solve this who will actually solve it. I don't know. And it seems like we're going to get that, right? Do you think we're going to have some sort of Fargo riff in an upcoming episode? Because that's my guess.
That's a great idea. But like... like an outside, like a cop from the next town over, from whatever falls.
Oh, it's probably a really legit FBI agent.
Yeah, Greendale.
Yeah.
It's going to step in.
Legit FBI agent. Yeah, probably.
A childlike FBI man.
Well, we'll have to see what happens with that. Which ones do you want to talk about first? Bughead or Varchi?
Let's do...
Varchi.
Interesting. Okay.
Wait, what? Wait, which did you
say? Said Bughead. He said Varchi.
Oh, man.
It's interesting.
Bughead Varchi by a toe. Oh, if he hollers,
we don't have this kind of time.
It is weird because Pete always says Betty all day, or day, but he actually chose Veronica and Archie.
Interesting. Because
I'm saving the best for last.
Oh. All right. Yeah, well, we got the Black Hood stuff with the Bughead storyline, so let's talk about Varchi first.
Great.
So Nick St. Clair is back in town. Nick St. Clair tracks down Archie, beats the shit out of him, and holds him for ransom, at which point the lodges are like, he's not family. We can't really pay for it. And so both Veronica and Archie are pretty much on their own.
Well, like Nick St. Clair, well, first off, right after they leave the Midge's funeral, Veronica's like, yo, chill, dude. I know you're going to want to get together some weird shirtless group and start another vigilante.
Which was a smart move on Veronica's.
We're called the Green Circle now.
Yeah,
it's a new color.
I thought it was a solid girlfriend move to be like, listen, sweetheart, I love you, but I know how you get in these situations, so chill the fuck out.
We're called Arm Day because today's our arm day, and we're going to just really work on our arms. A lot of push-ups. All-American push-up party. Yeah.
So Veronica does call him out, and then immediately he gets taken by Nick St. Clair. We should briefly explain who Nick St. Clair is.
Yes.
He is this dude who tried to sexually assault a bunch of the women in Riverdale. Josie and the Pussycats kicked the shit out of him, and then Archie broke his legs. Yeah. What is this show? I don't know.
It is insane. I mean, I was going to talk about this later, but none of these characters are like they're great. Everyone's insane.
Yeah.
No one is likable on this show anymore.
Yeah, that's not true.
Who's likable?
Betty is likable.
Betty is
let's
talk about this later. Let's talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to this later. But I agree with you. There was definitely something this episode where people are like, well, people are gonna get murdered anyway, so whatever.
I don't even care. Veronica was likable in this episode.
And we definitely get to a place, I mean, this is jumping ahead of the Varchi storyline, but we definitely get to a place where I was like, well, Veronica could murder a person, I guess. And might be okay.
So, let's get there. So Nick St. Clair has Archie, wants $1 million.
Right.
And the lodges, without batting an eyelash, are like, we're evil, we're a crime family, but we don't got that cash.
Yeah,
not for a non-family member. Even though Hiram has a blood brotherhood.
What was that?
How much closer do you have to be?
Yeah, you fucking cut your hands open and shook hands.
Well,
like,
here's the thing. They have the blood pact, but he hasn't made his bones yet.
I do not like the term made his bones.
Yeah, that
I
had is
to hear
awful.
Made his bones. Isn't that like a cooking term? And here we are hearing made his bones all over the place.
No, that's sauteed his bones or soaked his bones in order to make a nice bone broth.
That's made his bone marrow.
Yes, exactly.
Which is delicious. Very good. Very good.
Oh, my God. Have you ever had that?
Just a roast.
One time, Anthony Bourdain himself served me some bone marrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Nobody fucking cares. Let's talk about the fucking episode.
I don't know. I want to talk about this.
So I thought it was baller the way Veronica was like, hey, fuck you, parents. I'm going to get my Archie back. I don't need you.
Yeah, well, Archie is tied up. He is in very dire straits. Nicky St. Clair manipulates the situation so that he thinks Veronica is going to sleep with him, which he thinks he's owed. Complicating matters a little bit. They used to date.
Right.
So he's taking this as like, oh, we're just going to be continuing our relationship. That's all that's going on. He keeps using phrases like, give me what I'm owed. I deserve this. It's total creepy, toxic masculinity.
I got to say, he was scared. I thought he was a legit well done villain in this episode.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm going to murder Archie.
So let's take a step back, actually, because we talked about this back when Nikki St. Clair was last on the show, and I expressed reservation. I didn't want him to be like this recurring soap opera-esque villain because,
right.
particularly in this day and age, him sexually assaulting a bunch of teenagers is fucked up, and there's nothing delicious or delightfully naughty about what's going on there.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, I think they amped him up so much that he was completely irredeemable and completely terrible, and I'm glad they took care of him the way that they did.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, I disagree, but we'll get into that.
Sure. So Archie is tied up. He's forced to watch as he thinks Nikki St. Clair is going to have sex with Veronica.
That was so crazy intense. The fact that he sets up the laptop and then it was like, you're going to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Great tech support for this sex murder scam. I feel like Nikki
Here's the thing. We could barely make a podcast work. I don't know how he does that.
Do you think he used Skype or like a Google Hangout? Or do you think he had like a separate like point-to-point video feed?
Oh, yeah. Probably the last one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I wish they got into that a little bit more.
Yeah. He was like, I'm setting up a T1 connection to make sure we don't have any dropped service.
Radico, can I use your hotspot?
Can we fucking talk about the show, please?
We are talking about the fucking show, Pete.
Jesus Christ.
It's important to understand the tech that they use in the show.
No, it's
the
not.
Show is all
so, yeah, not. The Nick's like, I'm going to make my bones. I'm going to kill Archie. Because we find out a little bit in this episode that the Nikki, the St. Clair family, is a rival crime family to the Lodges. And Nikki needs to make his bones so he can be welcome into the family.
Right.
As a Even key though, to kill Archie.
Right. Though he is their son.
So you sort of in. Also, I'm like, if you, what mob are you go home and you're like, hey, I killed a teenager from the other town. I'm a mobster now. It's like, what?
Yeah. Well, so the other thing that the reason he does it, and he mentions the Starchie, is like, if I could kill Hiram Lodge's capo, which is what Archie is now, then I'll make my bones. I know we keep saying the exact same thing, but it's crazy that Archie is a capo in a mob family that has literally like four people in it.
And also, Archie was the waiter at the restaurant a minute ago.
Right.
To say that he is a capo in the Lodge crime family, which was just revealed to us to this episode, I thought that was, it got crazy fast, which is the fucking motto of this show.
So Veronica does go back to Nikki St. Clair's room. She seems to romance him.
Now, what were you guys thinking? I was thinking she would have a shiv or something that she would just like shiv him with.
No, you can't have the heroes of your show straight up murder. The lesson of this whole episode is you can't have your heroes murdering people.
It depends on who your hero is.
True.
If anything, well, let's describe what actually happens. So Archie goes insane because he thinks Veronica is going to be forced to sleep with Nikki St. Clair.
Right.
He breaks the chair that he's on, beats up a bunch of dudes, runs at top speed down the streets of Riverdale to the hotel they're at, kicks open the door, and finds that Veronica has actually roofied Nikki St. Clair.
Flipped it on him.
Great. Yeah, flipped it on him.
Flipped it on him.
I thought this was great. I think, to your point, Justin, at this point, Veronica is the most honorable person on this show.
Yes. Even though she is pretty complicit with her family's crime family.
Right. In that she then holds Nikki St. Clair for ransom.
Which goes against what you guys said 2 minutes ago, where nobody on the show is kind of like, you're like, oh, who do we root for on the show? Nobody is, but Veronica is.
No, but she also is she's involved in all this crime. Like, she is.
Yeah, lightly involved. She's lightly.
She holds a man for ransom.
And gets $1 million. There are repercussions. Have you ever held a member of a crime family ransom?
No, well, let me ask you guys something. If you were tied to a chair, you thought the woman you love was gonna be raped, you rush all the way over here, you break down the door, and he's lying there, you don't get a couple shots in, you aren't going to be like, oh, thank God you're okay. I just need to, for myself, beat this guy up a little bit.
Do you know
what
a really cool thing to do is? Punch an unconscious dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Pete, your moral compass is legit shattered. You're lost in some weird woods.
I'm just saying, like, he deserves a couple shots.
I will say, Nikki's trying to make his bones so bad. He has like 13-year-old goons who are, like, getting food delivered and fucking around where they're supposed to be watching Archie. He's not going to make his bones then.
No, he really isn't. But Archie might make his bones. He tells Hiram Lodge that he wants to kill the Black Hood and asks him, will that make my bones with you? Which, again, weird phrase. And Hiram had a really interesting reaction to that. really interesting, where he wasn't like, yes, I think that would make your bones. The way that he says it, he knows something about the Black Hood.
Yeah, it was weird because he was like, yes, that would consider, I would consider that making your bones. I was like, what are you even doing?
Right.
Also, it's like, killing of what is making your bones? Just killing a person?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Like, as far as what I know about like mafia and mob families, based on obviously my experience as a capo, and watching some movies, is that you have to do something for the family, like kill a rival or something. It's not just being like, hey, could you shoot a guy?
No, it depends on the gang. Just killing somebody is enough to get into the gang.
That's the gang you're in.
Is it literally like making bones, like turning somebody into a skeleton? Is that what it means?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool. And then stewing them up real nice to make like a nice broth, right?
A human stew.
That's just your gang that you're in.
Yeah, you're in a weird cooking murder gang. Yeah.
They should call it making a human stew. I think that would make everything a lot clearer.
I don't know. I really want to make a human stew for you.
I think all right. Anything else we need to say about the Varchi storyline?
Veronica ends up with $1 million.
Yeah.
Right. Which is pretty crazy.
Just sitting on top of the table.
Chicken dinner, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. That's the sort of thing you throw on the bed and you swim around in a little bit.
Yeah. Swim around?
Make money.
Scrooge McDuck
style. Yeah, you jump in your bunny, swim around.
That's what the lodges need, a bunny bin.
Have you ever been to Alex's house? He keeps all of his deals and he uses banks. He has a closet that is just like,
empty of money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking poor. All right, let's move on to talk about the Buckhead storyline, because this arguably was the bigger one in the episode, full of big stuff. Mm-hmm. So the Black Hood is back. Chick is also back. And
good old Chick that we've been really, Alex and I have been backing all
season. I told you guys.
Fun. I don't know. I'm still a Chick. I'm still a Chick.
What?
I think he's a good guy.
No way. I agree. I think he's misunderstood.
You guys are completely out of your gores.
Now, when he picked up that knife and cut his own mother, who he thinks is his own mother, he was just trying to like get a mole on her cheek.
I fucking hate you guys. He's the creepiest motherfucker there is, and you guys are completely blind to it.
So starting at the beginning of the episode, Jughead blames Chick for this whole thing,
Can we please talk about the nun scene, though, before we get into all the...
Like, get into the stuff that happens before that?
Jughead blames Chick, and then Hal, who just moved back in the house, jumps right into being an asshole.
Classic Hal. Jesus Christ.
He literally just got back together with his wife, and he walks in, he's like, hey, what the fuck's going on here? It's like, dude.
Yeah, calm down.
You're playing easy for a little while. I don't know why you're mad.
I don't know, man. I don't like that Hal Cooper. I don't trust him.
Oh, boy. Hold on to that.
So, anyway, like you were saying, they go to the Sisters of the Quiet Mercy to kind of find out more about Chick, and they discover a guy named Charles Smith, who is definitely not Chick, based on the picture, and they're like, whoa, are you sure about this? And the evil nun's like, oh, I'm very sure about it. You need to trust me.
And then Betty gets the nun. The evil Betty she's like, oh, you want to play games with me, nun? No, you don't fuck with evil Betty. And then Betty was just like,
well, again, that happened before that.
But it was so the fact that like Betty was not intimidated by this nun and was not going to have any of it. And she kind of like evil Betty'd a little bit.
Sorry, can I just ask a question? Would you say she was having none of it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. Dude.
Exactly. So they find out the Chick is not who he says he is. They go back, immediately confront him. Which,
well, hold on a second.
I don't understand why you don't want to talk about this moment more. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, you like when Betty turns into a monster.
Right.
Or
uses her powers for good in this.
Well, but I think it's crazy the way the Sisters of the Quiet Mercy is like a horrifying crime church.
Yeah.
and it's like they're just like, if you don't tell us what we want to know, we're going to tell on you. And you're like, you should have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, it's like
Betty, this crime church should have been shut down when her sister was locked up in it. And instead, they had a sexual reorientation program that Betty's just casually thrown out there. Like, hey, there's people in there getting fucked with right now.
Yeah.
Very odd.
All things crazy, and it'll never come back again. but they go and confront Chick, which seems like a really good idea, particularly if you think there's an imposter, to immediately run in and start accusing him of stuff. He says, no, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And then freaks out, as we mentioned, cuts Alice Cooper, and they wrestle him to the ground and tie him to a chair.
Slow the fuck down. Betty, like, straight up punches Jake. I mean, she hulks out. It was fantastic.
I know. She was out of control.
Jughead was, like, a little scared, and Betty was like, I got this. And, like, even though he had a knife, took his ass down. It was amazing.
It's kind of amazing how Betty became the bad guy in this episode, attacking poor Chick. Is that what
you're saying? That's what I was just about to say.
You shut the fuck up right now. That is the opposite of what happened. Betty saved the day.
Here's what I think. It depends on how you interpret the episode. Oh, and I interpret every episode that Chick is the good guy.
Alex slips a lot and calls this Chick Tale.
Yeah.
River Chick Tale
before breakfast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I like to wake up with a good dose of my man Chick.
You guys, when that punch happened, you guys weren't losing and screaming at the TV?
It escalated rather quickly. Yeah. And
well, when he grabbed the knife, I was like, oh, damn. Did not see that coming.
So they end up investigating Chick. They go to a hotel where Charles Smith was staying. Oh, we should probably mention that Betty is going along by the Black Hood, which definitely puts her motivations into...
Just hearing that ringtone again, I was like, oh!
Yes, well, so we find out that Chick says that Charles, the real brother, the real Cooper brother, OD'd on Jingle Jangle, which to me is the most embarrassing way to die.
Oh, my God. Oh, I laughed so hard.
But in the middle, after this intense knife scene, he's like, yeah, Charles OD'd. On Jingle Jangle. Yeah. I was like, wow. Again, we're an insane
every time we got every past time, Jingle Jangle, we'd never have to hear it
did
again.
Did you picture that? OD'ing on Jingle Jangle to me is like, he had too many pixie sticks.
Literally, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, and before we get to where they go back to where they found Chick, we have a pretty intense F-Pal situation where she's like, Alice is like, hey, we had a child together and I killed him because Charles Cooper came back, or Charles Smith, I guess, came back to the house and Mrs. Cooper turned him away, not believing that he was.
Yeah, but we
her
don't
child.
Know what really happened. It could have just been like, hey, I'm selling cookies. And she's like, I don't believe you. Get out of here.
What? You don't trust this character?
If somebody came to your door and was trying to sell cookies, why would you not believe them?
Well, if it's a here. Dude and he's selling Girl Scout cookies, I'd be like, get out of here.
I don't know. Dudes can sell Girl Scout cookies.
What
can
if they? He was in a Girl Scout uniform?
That would be weird because it's a grown-ass man.
Fair.
Yeah.
So regardless, she like you said, she reveals everything to FP, and that's a rough scene to watch, particularly because FP is like, this is too much information that you're giving me all at once right now.
Yeah.
What do you think is next for that relationship? Do you think there is any hope for FP and Alice at this point?
Not after what happened towards the end, no.
I think they will get back together.
I think so, too.
I believe in F-Palace.
F-Palace to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen.
F-Palace is endgame, Pete.
Once you've lived in you've had a room in the F-Palace, you don't leave.
Nice. Speaking of which, getting rooms, they head to the hotel where Charles Smith used to stay, and they encounter a nice lady who tells them all about Charles Smith, who is nice. And it certainly seems from the story that either Charles was killed by Chick or died because of something that happened between him.
There's
and
bloody
Chick.
Sheets. There's definitely something bad happened.
Yeah. There. Now, at this point, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, do you think Charles is dead?
I will reserve my answer for the end, to the end of the podcast.
Okay. All right. So Betty goes back. She gets a call from the Black Hood who's like, you need to do what needs to be done.
Hey, do you still have the ringtone set to Lollipop? Because it was hard for me to set that on your phone, and I really like Lollipop. That is my ringtone.
I was doing a lot of Jingle Jangle, but I did that when I put on Lollipop. You guys done? You want to get back to doing the show?
Well, do you have a good Black Hood impression?
No, I don't have a good Black Hood
impression. You would be the best at it, because you have the boiling rage.
Dude, can we talk about...
Oh, that's pretty close.
Here's what I'm going to say. We're not going to move on until you do your Black Hood impression.
I'm the fucking Black Hood.
Okay. I don't know if you would say that, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's network television, but whatever.
So FP comes and grabs Jughead and is like, hey, man, chill out with hanging out with this
smart,
murder family.
Smart dude.
Yeah. Hal seems pretty surprised by the fact that his wife and daughter have, or his what he knows, his wife has killed someone.
Yeah.
And then Betty's like, I'm going to run outside and call my friend. Take this call from my friend, the Black Hood. And she is Chick's very own angel of death, as she says.
So she... go ahead, Pete.
How about that moment, though, where she shows up to the park with Chick, and then all of a sudden you see the Black Hood, and then Chick runs.
Well, let's talk about this. So Betty brings Chick to a graveyard and tells him that she's going to pay for his crimes, specifically because the Black Hood says unless he is presented with death, he is never going to admit to anything.
Right.
The Black Hood shows up. She tells him the Black Hood. He says, why would it be the Black Hood? You'd be running away. And he's like, nope, he's not here for me. Chick gets terrified. She tells him, you have 60 seconds left. You have 40 seconds left. You have 30 seconds left.
She's like, you better run.
You have a 50-50 chance. You have 50% chance of getting away.
I know you're going to hate to hear this. Chick never confesses at this point. He doesn't. Like, the Black Hood sets up the situation so that they can get a confession.
Who cares at this point? Chick is definitely the bad guy.
First of all, Chick is definitely not dead at this point. Second of all, Chick is maybe not the bad guy. Third of all, I don't think Chick killed Charles. Just based on what goes on here. Because
what the fuck else do you need to see, man?
Because the Black Hood sets up the situation telling Betty he will confess to it if you do these things, and he never confesses.
Let's finish up the episode, because anyway, I think we can talk about this for a while.
Sure.
So then there's this amazing moment where Chick starts to run, and then the Black Hood's looking at Betty, and then over to Chick. And there's a moment where I'm like, oh shit, what if the Black Hood just wanted to get Betty here and he doesn't give a shit about Chick? Like, what if the Black Hood goes after Betty? And there's like that long pause. And
I
then
think she's right, though. I think she is safe for the Black Hood, which we'll get to reasons
right,
for that in a second.
You didn't think there
was
that moment where it could go either way?
No, I thought he was always there for
Chick. You're a piece of shit.
And I think, I agree. Betty and the Black Hood have a sort of deal, and so he needs
sort
her
of like
as much
a familial bond, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Chill. The Black Hood, I thought it was funny, the Black Hood really seemed like he couldn't keep up with Chick in the one shot we see of him running.
Mm-hmm.
He almost feels a little like he's an older person, older
mm-hmm.
man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do think, and by the end of the episode, we find the very last moment is Betty going back home and being like, hey, where's Dad? And Mrs. Cooper's like, oh, he went out right after you.
Yeah. And Betty is like, my dad never goes out.
Yeah. He loves it inside.
So
wait a second.
He has sensitive pale skin.
He just got inside. Why would he go back outside?
I mean,
and that's where we have the episode.
Right.
The implication is pretty clear here that Betty thinks that her father might be the Black Hood.
I would say so.
And I also think he might be the Black Hood.
Yep. Yes.
What did you want to talk about, though, Justin?
Here's my theory, and I feel like you were alluding to this as well. The Black Hood is Betty's brother who didn't die, perhaps in a Scream situation with Chick himself.
Whoa.
So this has all been a game
I just think it's Betty's dad.
Hold on a second. So I feel like Charles Cooper, Charles Smith, has been using Chick as his eyes and ears to find out what's been going on with Betty all this time. And
that doesn't explain when Betty got back and Betty's
Betty
mom
got back.
When Betty got back to her house, Betty's mom was all like, oh, yeah, you know, why did you go and take care of that? Your father was going to take care of that. And it was almost like, you dumbass, you don't know your father's a Black Hood.
You think Mrs. Cooper knows?
I don't think Mrs. Cooper knows anything that is going on right now. I also think bodies or it didn't happen. Like, that's pretty clear with the show. Maybe we will see the body of Chick turn up at the beginning of next episode, but I don't think Chick is dead by any means. I do think there's something going on with her brother. It's possible he's the Black Hood. I do think in that moment, though, the person who was chasing Chick was Hal Cooper. Whether Hal Cooper is the Black Hood or not, I think that's up for debate.
You do think it was Hal Cooper?
I think it was Hal Cooper in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's who was chasing Chick, because I think Hal does want to get rid of Chick, but
Is a separate Black Hood?
That's entirely possible as well, too.
So you think, maybe, what if everyone's the Black Hood?
Everybody? Three Black Hoods in this episode.
Yeah, there are a lot of Black Hoods. Nicky St. Clair's gang is all Black Hoods.
St. Clair's gang, they had a bunch of Black Hoods.
Yeah, they had more like Black face masks.
That's a whole nother villain.
Got weird.
But I think you're right. There is something going on. We're not done with Betty's brother yet. That is too easy.
That's my number one prediction. We're done with Betty's brother.
All right. Before we wrap up, we've already talked about the Black Hood a little bit, as we do every episode. Betty or Veronica, this episode only. Justin, kick it off.
I don't know if we can really enjoy any of these characters anymore.
Oh, no.
They're all pretty bad people now.
Oh, sure. Don't say that.
So, like, I mean, what can you... I guess the only person I can really root for, based on being absent, is Tony Topaz.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Chick.
Yeah. I should have. Chick. Yeah.
Good guy. Pete, what about you? Betty or Veronica?
Betty all day, day.
It's amazing
she
that Betty's
glorious.
Becoming more likable to you
she
the more she becomes
a fantastic person, character, human being. You just the best. Absolute best.
I'm going to give it to Veronica just based on the fact that she heroically refrained from murdering somebody this episode, which puts her like slightly a notch morally above everybody else in the episode.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And she does solve the situation on her own without Archie. Archie causes a situation. He gets embroiled in a situation. She figures out how to get out of it more than anybody else, which I liked.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Just a couple of episodes left. But if you like our show, you can support us through patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York at the Pit Loft. Come on down. We'll chat about Riverdale. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Find us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast. And of course, Chick Dell Before Breakfast, where new episodes post every morning.
What?
Chick for life.
No, fuck both of you.
Life.
Never give up.